With Grandma visiting us over the Christmas holidays, Amy and I took advantage of a free babysitter and scheduled a little time for ourselves. We checked into the Plaza Hotel, and then on what was a very sort of snowy evening, we headed down Victoria Street to our longed-for destination, Pete's Pasta. You been there? Some of you? Yeah, there we were greeted by a smiling hostess and quickly escorted into one of two remaining tables. Soon we were enjoying what, I have to admit, is probably the best pasta I've ever had. Now, talking with some friends afterwards, I discovered that actually we were quite lucky to just show up and get a seat so easily. I mean, we were lucky that the weather was poor and that the streets were empty, and that there was actually room for us at Pete's. Often there's a line that extends outside of the restaurant. Sometimes the restaurant just sort of arbitrarily ends up being closed. And then other times, there is a sign that declares private party. Now that I've tasted their wares, I can only imagine the disappointment of spending a week looking forward to a nice evening at Pete's Pasta, only to arrive to a packed house where no tables are available. Be pretty disappointing. Well, in today's gospel passage, we meet a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a devout man. His group, the Pharisees, were careful observers of the law. Nicodemus was also a teacher and leader, a member of the Sanhedrin, the council that directed Jewish religious and political life. Nicodemus was a VIP. And in today's passage, he comes to see Jesus. His approach, if you listen carefully, was respectful, even deferential. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Nicodemus declares that he and his friends, whoever he's representing, recognize God's work in Jesus. But Jesus doesn't congratulate Nicodemus for his perception, his intuition. Instead, he challenges Nicodemus. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Now, I think it's important for us to pause and to realize that for the Jews, the kingdom of God was that longed-for future event when God would finally take hold of the reins of history. When the kingdom arrived, the Davidic throne would be restored. They would be freed from their oppressors, and all nations would join in the true worship of God. So when Nicodemus says that he can see signs of the divine in Jesus, Jesus responds that if Nicodemus wants to see what everyone's hoping for, if he wants to see that kingdom come, he must be born again. Of course, as you heard, Nicodemus doesn't get what Jesus is talking about. I mean, he's a religious man, yet he knows a little bit about biology. And so he asks Jesus, how is this to be? How is he supposed to climb back into his mother's womb to be born again? Well, Jesus states back to him, Nicodemus, I'm not talking about flesh. I'm talking about the Spirit. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Of course, this doesn't help Nicodemus that much. What I think we also need to realize is that for Nicodemus in the Jewish faith, being born into the right family was important, right? What matters was that they were a child of Abraham. Of course, other things mattered, how they practiced their faith, but that one thing was so important, being born into the right family, the physical descent, being a physical descendant of Abraham. But here, now Jesus is saying, God is sort of starting a new family in which ordinary birth isn't enough. You need to be born all over again. And so Nicodemus is stunned. I mean, how can this be, he asks. And while Jesus started off tersely, his speech becomes increasingly more abrupt and unsympathetic. Hey, you're Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? Why is it that Jesus is so frustrated with Nicodemus? Well, as one who no doubt looked forward to the coming of God's kingdom, Nicodemus, of all people, a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, should have been aware of those promises found in the prophets. Not that just that God would take charge of the nations. I mean, it wasn't always about the nations. It was also about the people. It was about the people and their hearts and whether their hearts were turned towards God or away from God. Consider these words from the prophet Ezekiel. Words we heard in our assurance of pardon. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. Jesus says to Nicodemus that he needs to be born anathen, that's the Greek word, born again, born from above. If Nicodemus the Pharisee, the teacher, the leader, wants to just see the kingdom, let alone wants to enter into it, he can't depend on his religious pedigree or obedience. He needs to be cleansed and transformed by water and spirit. He must be reborn by God's power. And how is that to be accomplished? How is that to be accomplished? Well, Jesus says it's simple. Jesus says that entering into God's kingdom, that entering into this new life and experiencing this transformation comes by putting our faith in Him. I'm sure you know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life. Kingdom life. It won't be seen. You can't see it just because you're born into the right family, or because you live as a moral, upright person, although this is part and parcel of a transformed life. But that's not the key. It can't be experienced just because you are baptized as a young person. Your parents asked the priest or the minister to splash water on you. Or maybe because you said the sinner's prayer as a young person. Although water is an opportunity for the Spirit, as is our contrition, what matters utterly and finally is the action and power of God that we receive as we put our faith in Jesus. When God's work in Christ is received by faith, something definitive happens. The kingdom life we were hoping to see or to enter into makes a beachhead in our own hearts. We discover new interests and new motivations, all driven, empowered by God's Spirit. Outsiders, well, they may not understand. They may not comprehend what is happening. But when the Spirit is at work, they will notice its effects. So how about you? This may be, I don't know, you may have been in a church maybe a handful of times in your life. You may be curious about this kingdom life, this eternal life that is talked about here. You may have been a regular at church for the last 70 years. And yet you're wondering, what is Jesus talking about? Being born from above, born again. Well, it really is about opening our hearts, I think, to join Jesus on a journey. Jesus is going to be working amongst the nations, but he's also interested in working in our hearts. And he beckons us here to trust him. I mean, he's not here to condemn us, but to save us. He wants us all to experience the fullness of all that God has for us. Earlier this week, you decided that Friday night was date night, and you've been waiting for the meal all week, dinner at Pete's Pasta. Linguine with mushrooms and bacon, a nice red wine, creme brulee and coffee to finish it off. When you drive by to park, you think you're in luck. I mean, there's no lineup. But when you approach the door, you're dismayed. While you may see other diners enjoying themselves, a sign's been hung on the door. Private event, it reads. Private event. And your heart sinks. It doesn't matter how hungry you are, right? Private event. It doesn't matter how much you've been looking forward to this. Private event. It doesn't matter who you are, who your parents were, how much money is in your wallet. Private event. Private event slams the door on your Friday evening plans. But as you're walking away, you hear a voice shout out to you, a friend. What's he doing here? Oh, he's hosting the party. He says, come on back. We got space. There's room for you. So will we trust that Jesus has something good for us? Will we accept his invitation to be born again, born from above? Well, may God create a willingness in our hearts, and may we see and experience all of the life, life full and lasting. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Lord God, you know each one of us. You know our hearts. You know the hearts that you have transformed and made soft, alive. And you know the hearts that are closed and hardened by a variety of experiences and encounters. Lord, we ask for all of us that you would do your good work in us, that we might be able to make room in our hearts for Christ, that your Holy Spirit would bring its animating power into our lives, that we might leave this place not just convinced we need to do better or feeling bad about ourselves, but knowing that we truly are your children and that your power is at work in us. We ask this all in your powerful name. Amen.